I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, 2 hours a day, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. Second hour of today's show, it's Wednesday. Even with the holiday gluttony that's about to approach, which I encourage, have a good time tomorrow, but we're going to take a break from 10 to 11 today and talk about health-related issues in Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We've got some interesting and effective workout information today that might make it easier for you to get into shape if you're looking to, if you're currently exercising and want to improve your results, or if you are just looking to start something. I'm a nerd on exercise, like I'm a nerd on nutrition and a nerd on economics. And I watch some of the science-y stuff, pay attention to research that's done on workouts. It's actually a little bit easier. It's I had a workout yesterday. It's about 40 minutes. Usually it's well into an hour, and I'm good and sore today. So this should be helpful. You don't have to wait till January 1st. To start getting into shape, you're going to need to burn some pounds next week, I would imagine, for most of us. So we will get to that and some, there's a really bad native ad. I think it was on NBC or ABC. I've warned you about these native ads. We'll talk about that in Hump Day Health, too. Quotes of the day today. The Libertarian Party tweeted this out. It's been a few days ago, but Libertarian Party tweeted out, China and Russia can't tax you, conscript you, seize your wealth, or throw you into a cage for a nonviolent offense. Know who your real enemy is. If anybody's wondering where the Libertarian Party stands these days. And this was an interesting thing I saw posted. It's kind of a story. Wouldn't be called a fable. Is it an allegory? I don't know. Well, they posted this. They said, the farmer offers the sheep the same grass that was always in the field, but will tell the sheep the grass is his gift in return for frequent shearing, the constant culling of their herd for meat. The farmer will care for the sheep's health care only to the extent he wants to eat the healthy. The farmer will fence the field where the sheep have always lived and tell whoever asks, it is to keep out the wolves and the bears, to keep them safe. But it is actually so that he can control the movements of the sheep in order to more easily herd them for shearing and slaughter. A deer called to the sheep, are you mad? Flee, they will eat you. But the sheep say, quote, deer are so offensive, calling others stupid. Our farmers comb our wool and they feed us because they love us. What do they offer you? Free food, health care, the illusion of safety in return for what? Being fenced? Movement controlled, fleecing by taxes and inflation, and you doubt there's a culling involved? Foolish sheep. An interesting little story there. And speaking of sheep and being herded, are you traveling for Thanksgiving? I have traveled the world extensively, mostly in my youth. Talked about it often. My father worked for Delta Airlines, some of the greatest, at the time, some of the greatest benefits in the world. As a matter of fact, I flew most of the world first class as a spoiled child. I looked like a spoiled rich kid. I wasn't. I was just flying on the benefits, but I flew a lot around the world, foreign countries, trips two or three times a year, many of them international. And I remember what flying used to be. We could get to the airport about 20 minutes before the flight. No worries whatsoever. I think that we always had to put our bags on a conveyor belt to go through the scanner, and we had to just walk through a metal detector Occasionally your belt or something else would set off the alarm. You might have to dump something in a basket, walk back through. But it was a very, very quick process. And when we put our bags through the scanner, they weren't looking to measure our shampoo bottles. So that process was always very quick. You put your bag on a conveyor belt. It moves as you move through the metal detector. You pick it up on the other side, and you're about your business. Took about 20 minutes between walking into the airport and being on the flight. Lines were there to some degree, as I recall, but they weren't much. They moved quickly, and the people who were at the time airport or airline employees at security checkpoints were always very pleasant because we were their customers. I always really loved flying. I don't fly near as much these days, but the experience is not the same. I want to fast forward to today. I heard this ad on CBS Newsbreak yesterday, and because I don't travel a whole lot and I'm not going to submit to these track and trace operations, this is what I heard the ad for yesterday. It's something called ClearMe. You can find it at clearme.com. And so when I heard the ad, it was one of these kind of, I've heard of TSA PreCheck. Essentially, they'll investigate you to see if you can be a trusted traveler. Again, I flew around the world. I don't think I ever went to any communist countries, but I went through a lot of government checkpoints. Most of them pretty friendly and pretty easy to get through. Fast forward to today, even here in the United States, where you have to be vetted so that they don't force you through a two-hour line so they can molest you before you get on a plane. Here's what ClearMe, I went to their website to see exactly what this thing was. Their website says, enroll in minutes. I kind of want to do one of those creepy female dystopian movie voices. Please step aside for additional screening. Enroll in minutes. Enroll online here or in person at any Clear airport location. If you begin online, you'll need to finish at the airport next time you fly. Our ambassadors will help you get set up at a Clear pod by adding your eyes or fingerprint to your secure profile so we can safely verify it's you each time you fly. Look for our lanes. Once you've enrolled in Clear Plus, you can use it right away. Simply head to security and look for our dedicated Clear lanes. We keep you moving. In the Clear lane, step up to the pod and scan your boarding pass. You'll be prompted to verify you are you with your eyes or your fingerprint. No need to stop and pull out an ID. Once verified, an ambassador will escort you to the front of the physical screening. You can add up to 3 people to your Clear account for just $60. That's over a $380 savings. Yeah, oh yeah, I failed to mention. This thing is $189. So that they too can use Clear Plus when traveling with or without you. Using Clear Plus at 40 plus airports nationwide for more predictable travel. You'll save time and stress. And get to your gate faster. We look forward to welcoming you back again and again. So what they've done is they've taken what was an experience that I had, I'd say well over 100 times as I flew around the world, which is a very pleasant experience of no lines, no molestation, no barking TSA, petty tyrant thugs bossing you around. It was a very pleasant thing. They've stripped you of all of the dignity of flying, but they'll sell you back a little bit of it as long as you give them your biometric data. You got to give them your eye scan. You got to give them a fingerprint because everybody else who does not submit to the TSA PreCheck or this ClearMe is a suspected terrorist now. You're all suspects. You spend 2 to 3 hours before a flight essentially proving you're not a threat to anybody. Not because they've done any investigation into you, but because everybody now is a presumed threat. And so they strip us of our dignity and then sell it back to us. Now, I would say having to provide your fingerprint or an eye scan just to board a flight to go see Nana is not really dignity. It's more about control. But I find this so disgusting, and I'll mention this statistic one more time on this show. For anybody out there who is still believing the idea of they're just trying to keep us safe, just like the sheep in my story as I started this out with, they're just trying to keep us safe. Let me disabuse you of this notion. The TSA fails about 95% when they send people through purposefully with weapons or bomb materials. The TSA misses 95% of them, yet it's strange. We don't have a whole lot of hijackings and plane bombings, which shows you that there actually isn't a threat. Because if 95% of the people could get through without the TSA catching it, that's a pretty big hole. You would think that terrorists would be alerted to this, too, and taking down planes. This threat really doesn't exist. I'm not saying no nut job will ever take down a plane. But what they've convinced us is that you all are suspects going through these things. And if you don't believe me, as you're traveling for Thanksgiving, take a look at the side room by TSA. Maybe somebody got a little uppity. Maybe somebody was a little stressed out by the 2.5 hours they stood in line and they said the wrong word to one of the blue shirt TSA petty tyrants. And they're pulled aside to the special room where they're interrogated and molested and patted down and delayed. Oops, look at that. You missed your flight. What a shame. Next. It is a long, long slide. But I'm not going to get angry about it. We've talked about this. I need to change my... This is perfectly normal. Nothing to see here. This is why the Republicans have never done anything to strip the TSA and the molestation of our children and our grandparents at the airports. This is perfectly normal. The Republican Party would have taken care of it. It was actually a problem. Don't let Mike Madison tell you anything differently. This is perfectly normal. They've taken the dignity of being able to simply move about the country unmolested, and they may sell you a little bit of it back if you give them your biometric data. Perfectly normal. I'm not going to get worked up about it. This is exactly the way God intended life on planet Earth to be. Thank goodness we've got these two parties in control. Be right back. Luckily for my Thanksgiving, I'm not going to have to submit myself to the injustice and the indignities of flying, just moving about the country. So I'll be driving. All I have to submit myself to is the inflation, the high gas prices. I'm actually going to be celebrating having my Thanksgiving dinner, most likely at a casino. This will be a first for me. I have never done this before. I'm going, it'll be three of us getting together for Thanksgiving. Not a big family thing. My son finds himself between work shifts and stuck in his town. And so I'm going to go see him with a friend. And none of them are cookers. And I'm just too lazy to get up too early tomorrow morning and then go and then cook all day myself. Maybe that makes me a bad dad. But I think it makes me a rock and roll dad to have a Thanksgiving dinner most likely at a casino. And because of this fact, I will be trapped. There's a possibility. I guess I shouldn't say this for anybody that might jack me. I may be traveling with some cash. Hopefully, I don't get pulled over because they think I'm not wearing my seatbelt, and then the police discover that I'm actually carrying a few hundred dollars in cash on me, and they just take the money until I prove to them that I'm not a drug dealer or a terrorist. And again, I'm not going to get angry about the fact that that's been going on in this country for decades because I'm putting the anger behind. It's perfectly normal that in the United States, you're not allowed to carry your own money around. If you do, you're likely to have it confiscated and have to prove that you're not a criminal in the United States of America. This is perfectly normal. Vote for more Republicans. Everything will be fine. There was some good news. I've got some good news. There, 5 months after filing a lawsuit against the Goleta Water District in Santa Barbara, attorneys have secured a six-figure award in favor of five plaintiffs resulting from the utility's restrictive COVID-19 employee vaccine mandate. I'm telling you, the lawyers are going to be the ones that maybe save us. And this was interesting. Quote, this was fairly early on that they offered this judgment that the plaintiffs were the prevailing parties, which means that they did not want to litigate this case clearly and go to discovery. That was said by the attorney Mariah Gondiero, an Advocates for Faith and Freedom lawyer. Quote, I believe, here's the beautiful part. Oh, this is great. This is really, that's seriously good news. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek today because rightfully, I'm not making fun of the listener or anything. I actually believe it. It is. I think it's bad form to come on the radio and get incredibly angry. It works for Alex Jones. It worked for Michael Savage. I don't have the talent to pull that off. So I'm trying to pull in the reins a little bit. But this is actually good news. I believe that we can use it in other cases as a precedent. And that's exactly what we need. We need a bunch of, it's just like the voting stuff. You need to start setting some precedents in courts of law, unfortunately. That's the litmus test. So they've secured $125,000. I can't really figure out if this is, here's how it's written. I think this might be poor journalism. The settlement resulted not only in Goleta Water District paying $125,000 to five plaintiffs plus attorney's fees, but also in agreeing in a judgment to which the plaintiffs prevailed. Does this feels like, I don't, is this $125,000 each or $125,000 to five plaintiffs, meaning they're each getting $25,000? That's kind of my suspicion here. But this is a going against, this is calling out the vaccine mandates. The only other sad thing about this, and when you're challenging the government, always keep this in mind, the victory is great. But the people at Goleta Water District who tried to enforce this ridiculous vax mandate, well, they didn't try, they did. They discriminated against these workers, made some of them pay for, I think, biweekly testing or semi-weekly testing. Well, let me see, let me be accurate here. I don't see it in here. Oh, yeah, it is. It's biweekly COVID testing on their own time and on their own dime. You had to go test on your own nickel. The sad thing about these kinds of things when you're suing the government, it's the taxpayers that bear the burden. See, the busybodied bureaucrats, the people in these offices, they're never actually harmed. They actually just end up, this money will be paid through probably increased water rates, or it'll come from some level of a tax base. Until some of these people are actually held civilly liable themselves, the bureaucrats themselves who come up with these ideas, your Thomas Dobbs, your Anthony Fauci's, or your Tate Reeves, who signs an executive order, an emergency order, and then forces restaurants to serve only 25% of their patrons or only do takeout, when you can actually document the financial harm that that did to you and then actually hold the person who signed the bill to make that happen. I know Tate Reeves is becoming a shining star with the Republicans now. Again, we have very short memories, but until some of these bureaucrats are actually held accountable personally, I don't know it really changes a whole lot. They can continue to do these kinds of policies and go, if someone challenges it, we'll just jack up our rates a little bit. We'll take it from the tax base. We'll do a bond issue, whatever. I'm not going to lose my job. These are the people who need to lose their jobs. So anyway, it's still good. It's a precedent. Maybe at least some cities and towns might not want these big judgments against them. Again, it's just they don't really care. It's kind of like our federal government. Do they really care how many attorneys they put on January 6th protesters? They don't care. They're not paying for it. They're not having to weigh out a budget in any way, shape, or form. They just print up any money they want, so they have these endless resources. These bureaucrats need to be held personally responsible for these things. That will be the next thing. But still, we'll take good news where we can get it. Hopefully, as she said, this will be used as a precedent across the country, and more lawsuits will be fired. More people discriminated over their vaccine status will get their day in court. Unfortunately, again, It's going to be the taxpayer that pays the majority of these things. The taxpayer always pays for the mistake of the government at every single level. I'll be right back.
What's the frequency, can it the shop been so trained?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here in the Mack Heike Flowood Studios. I love Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a nice one. I do a political talk radio show, and I hate politics. Hopefully, you have not bought into the political fear to such a degree that you can no longer get together with your friends and your relatives during Thanksgiving because you cannot resist proving them wrong about everything. And telling them how evil that they are. Either side. Politics has infested everything, including Thanksgiving's supposed to be a very laid-back time. That's why I've always liked it. There's not the hustle and bustle that there is of Christmas, which I kind of rebel against as well. And Thanksgiving has always just been very kind of calm, soothing. Everybody gets together, laughs, eats too much, takes a nap. Oh, man, a Thanksgiving nap and leftover turkey. Unfortunately, my father married a woman who does not believe in turkey for Thanksgiving for some reason, and this is kind of one of those things like along the lines of in my intro music with Will Ferrell. Is anybody else noticing this or am I taking crazy pills? We have chicken every year for Thanksgiving. I think I'm pretty safe that she does not listen to the show. but I've always kind of looked around the table and thought, does anybody think it's strange that for this one day we don't actually have turkey? I'm just saying, it's just always seemed odd to me. The meal is always perfectly pleasant. I enjoyed the company. It doesn't really matter what species of fowl we consume. Theoretically, it just always seemed kind of weird to me. Of course, I'm poised to take my son and a friend to a casino for, so maybe I shouldn't be casting any stones. But Thanksgiving is a good holiday. So hopefully everybody does enjoy themselves. I'll be honest, I've got a ton of stuff on the shots. It's interesting. I mean, some of these things are still making headlines. Fauci is making for the exits. It's very interesting when you look at it with hindsight, and I can't believe I didn't really kind of see this coming, but it was pretty well known that the Republicans were probably going to take over Congress after the midterms. Of course, everybody expected it to be significantly more control than they're going to end up with. Still amazing to me how that didn't happen. But Fauci announced his retirement earlier in the year to coincide with the end of this year and before the new Congress. Steve Scalise is now the House Majority Leader. Apparently he's put some top three priorities of the new Republican Congress out there. I can't remember. I meant to pull it up. I think one of them is origins of COVID. I think one is maybe the Hunter Biden laptop, the origins of COVID, and the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Strangely missing from that is anything about COVID restrictions. There's nothing in there about a shot that is killing and maiming hundreds of thousands of Americans, most of them or many of them, forced into taking these things. Republicans won't get around to that. I guess they've had their meeting with Pfizer. And Pfizer said, nah, let's not do that. Let's not do that one. Okay, so Steve Scalise, they're not going to look at lockdowns. They're not going to look at central bank digital currencies. I don't even really hear anything, and maybe I've missed it. Has Donald Trump ever uttered the words Great Reset? I've heard him talk about the World Economic Forum, but only within the context that he says he went there and made great business deals. And he made some speeches talking about, you know, nationalism and thought every country should operate in their own self-interest. But during all of this campaigning leading up to 2020 and now with the announcement of 2024 and the Republican Congress that's coming in, I don't hear a whole lot of talk about what really appears to be something kind of big, which is this Great Reset idea, this pushing us towards the green, sustainable world that is actually the opposite. Some people out there really doing great work on just the atrocities and the environmental disaster of mining cobalt and lithium. Whitney Webb has done some great work on the corporations that are set to capitalize on this push towards so-called sustainable energy. There's a whole lot of money. It's in the trillions of dollars, and there's a lot of big financial players, Wall Street firms that are set to capitalize on this stuff. And the left, like the sheep in my story before, are just, they are going right along with it. But nothing the Republicans, you know, so you'll get your Hunter Biden laptop stuff. And that's an ad. Wouldn't it be great to see Hunter Biden pay a price for all of his massive corruption? But I just don't know if the Republicans can open that Pandora's box. I mean, Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis. Should we look at that, too? I find that to be just as distasteful as the, was it $50,000 a month from the Ukrainian energy company? These are countries that we make policies on constantly. So I don't know if the Republican, but we'll be treated to the theater of the Hunter Biden laptop. The withdrawal from Afghanistan, that's going to be a focus of the GOP Congress going forward. That'll make a difference in your life, won't it? Oh, they'll get a bunch of sound bites. And it was obviously, quite obviously, a disaster. Of course, the Republican Party, Donald Trump, Republican House, Republican Senate, had 2 years to withdraw us from Afghanistan, and they did bupkis. They did nothing. They left what was always going to be a mess to the Biden administration, and he has got the most inept government ever, so it was assured to be a debacle if you wanted to have an orderly withdrawal from Afghanistan, and if the Republicans could have done it better, then why didn't they? Now, people say, well, Mike, you can't just, it took time to roll this up. I didn't look it up, but I think it took us about 6 weeks to go into Afghanistan. As Ron Paul says, we marched right in, we can march right out. How is it that the military, 6 weeks after 9/11, I think that's pretty close. It was not much time. After 9/11, supposedly this time, we were blindsided with this attack. We identified the culprits, and within 6 weeks, we had mobilized full military invasion of Afghanistan. But I'm supposed to believe that it takes more than 2 years or Donald Trump's entire 4 years to dot all the I's and cross all the T's to get us out of Afghanistan. Anyway, the Republican Party is going to be focused on this botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. That may be not in the top 100 things that they should be talking about. It's done. It was a mess. It was always going to be a mess. And we never should have been there in the first place. I'd be much more interested into an investigation of who sent us into Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Yemen in the first place. That might actually change things going forward. But instead, we're going to do a hindsight look to score political points about a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. This is one of the top three things the Republicans are going to tackle. Nothing about the Great Reset. Nothing about the test that's going on right now with the big banks on these central bank digital currencies, which I'm just going to go ahead and predict. I'm going to go out on a limb here and make a prediction. They're going to come back and say it was a stunning success. These things are just about ready to roll out into the public. Nothing about that. So, anyway, there you go. So I have these things on these shots. Nothing about this. Nothing about the COVID restrictions that the GOP is going to tackle when they come into office. But boy, this is a, I don't know if this is making rounds. I don't know how viral it goes. It kind of always kind of feels like when I stumble across some kind of a video or a quote from somebody, it must be really far and wide because I'm not the best investigator on social media. This was going around on Twitter. This is George Soros talking about these COVID restrictions and shots.
COVID-19 also helped legitimize instruments of control.
COVID-19 also helped legitimize instruments of control.
COVID-19 also helped legitimize instruments of control.
Republicans probably won't get around to these instruments of control when they take office. I guess they'd have to implicate a lot of their own on this. This was Fauci. Let me pull this up real quick. I wasn't quite ready for this. I'm rambling a little bit. I'm ready for the break, too. I'm ready for a Thanksgiving break where I don't have to think about this stuff myself. Many people today. I did notice traffic was really light this morning. Probably most people are moving on with their lives in a more calm and peaceful manner today anyway. But this was Anthony Fauci. He's going to give you, he's leaving, I think it's in December. Like, as I say, he's bugging out before a Republican Congress. Supposedly, this will not stop him from being hauled in front of them. He makes over $500,000 a year. Anthony Fauci, the highest paid, makes more than the president of the United States, the highest paid federal employee in the United States of America. I wonder what that pension looks like. How about that? We're gonna pay to send this guy out into the world. And this will be, the money that we give him will be a rounding error, even though it's would be a lot to any American. It's pretty outrageous for this guy to get it. But it'll be a rounding error to him from all of the money he'll be showered from Big Pharma with when he, air quotes here in the studio, retires. So he won't even need the money from his government pension, but I think I might have seen it. It may be north of $350,000 a year. The guy's been in government his whole career. Or at least decades of his career. I don't know where he started out. $350,000 a year. We will be paying Anthony Fauci for money he doesn't even really need. He's built tremendous wealth. He's got a bunch of patents on some of these disastrous medications. But we'll just, it'll be kind of like just a little lagniappe for him. A little cherry on the top of the cupcake when he leaves. The taxpayers being fleeced. And I'm sure there's probably some other benefits associated with that. But I'm not going to get angry about it. It's perfectly normal for your bureaucrat that locked down our country and force inoculated down to 6 month olds, hundreds of thousands of Americans dying and being maimed from the product that he's pushing. That's perfectly normal. I will not get angry about it. But this is Anthony Fauci saying goodbye.
That is really quite good. So you have immunological data and you have now clinical efficacy data. Everybody was asking the question, where's the clinical efficacy data? Now it has come out with the CDC, MMWR this morning. So we know it's safe. We know that it is effective. So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot as soon as you're eligible to protect yourself, your family, and your community. I urge you to visit vaccines.gov to find a location where you can easily get an updated vaccine. And please do it as soon as possible.
I could really only imagine, as Anthony Fauci retires, I can only imagine he's planning on fleeing to Argentina. The rumor is that he's going to be living in the same house that Dr. Mengele lived in when the Nazis escaped to Argentina, maybe so he can continue with his medical experimentation on people. I bet you Dr. Mengele had himself quite a little lab to experiment maybe on the Argentinians when they got down there. One last parting, safe and effective. And you know what would be maddening, except I don't get mad anymore. What would be maddening is that this plays with well over probably 100 million Americans. They still hear safe and effective and think that is the authoritative source on it, ignoring all evidence to the contrary. And I've got some of that evidence when we come back. Stick around. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, next hour we'll focus in on health stuff, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Got some good exercise information, some new science on exercise that may make things easier, put the hurdles or the things that you think are going to take a lot of time to get into shape and just some perspective. We'll take a look at that. And we've got a native ad, too. For this segment, I'm the kinder and gentler Mike Madison, refusing because all of these things that I'm reporting to you are perfectly normal and just part of life on planet Earth, including the shots. They may not be safe and effective, but they had the best of intentions and, you know, whatever the mainstream view on that is. This is all perfectly normal. Anthony Fauci says, safe and effective. It says the data's in. The CDC has it. And we know anything here on this show. It is that you can trust the CDC. They are not, as I previously reported in my anger tones, a big pharma sales organization. No, the CDC loves you like the farmer loves the sheep. This is Dr. McCullough. I got to tell you, I'm getting a creepy feeling about Dr. Malone. This is not going to be a popular thing to say. I'm hearing him, I don't know. He's had a lot of very deep connections to a lot of people in the kind of the biosecurity medical state. Maybe he's had an epiphany. I don't know. I'm not pulling a whole lot of Dr. Malone clips these days. My spidey senses are going off on this guy a tad bit. He's done some good work. No doubt about that. He's called out some things he should call out. Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, he's the one that still feels to me kind of be the real deal. They're stripping him of just about all of his medical credentials in the medical mafia has set upon him. But he seems to be undeterred. He's an older guy, been very successful his whole life. Hopefully he's got a nest egg, so hopefully they let him have it. Eventually, it'll be the kind of situation where people like Dr. McCullough in 20 years from now, they will have been paid in central bank digital currencies, and when they speak up, their account will just be taken away. Now, they can still do those things now because it's perfectly normal that we live in a society where the IRS can reach into your bank account at any day, take all of your money, and force you to prove your innocence. That's perfectly normal. I'm not going to get upset about that. But at some point, you know, you want to crush dissent. Dr. McCullough probably has some luxury to speak the truth because he's made his money. He's an older guy. He could retire if he wanted to. I'm sure he's financially secure. Probably gives him a great deal of freedom. At some point, there will be no freedom. There will be no financial security unless you play the game, unless you go along. Thank goodness I'm discovering my new, calmer, sweeter, more temperate Mike Madison, so that maybe I will be allowed to retire in peace someday. This actually kinder, sweeter guy, it's not going to last probably through the weekend. Monday, I'll be back to the John Wick of radio. This is Dr. McCullough on the heels of Anthony Fauci giving you his one last trip from the podium. There was a big kerfuffle yesterday at that press conference, too. Somebody was trying to ask, what about the origins of COVID? He didn't want to answer. The press secretary, I don't want to play it. It's not great audio, but even one of our African brothers from Africa, African journalist said, well, shouldn't you answer that girl's question about the origins of COVID? I mean, believe me, they're interested in Africa, too, even though they didn't suffer the same consequences we did. African nations did better than the United States in COVID. Well, as a matter of fact, the whole world did better than the United States under the tutelage of Anthony Fauci. But anyway, as Anthony Fauci in his last public appearance, he will do his evil from behind the curtain again now. He said safe and effective. Dr. McCullough disagrees.
We should have known what we call pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics. So we learn this after the vaccines are released, and everything we've learned gives everybody a sense of nausea. And let me fill you in with some of these citations. Furtick and colleagues figures out how to measure the messenger RNA. It goes up in the bloodstream and stays up for 2 weeks. That's when they stopped. We don't know when it goes down, but it's circulatory for 2 weeks. Foreign messenger RNA in the body, presumably on lipid nanoparticles, are now in exosomes. Another piece of information.
That's problematic because we're told it's just located in the arm. It's short-lived, and it dissipates.
Right.
The body's kicking, this is over.
Right.
It's running all through your body.
It's running through your body at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They, Roentgen, Stanford, they're getting lymph node biopsies for other reasons, but they learn how to stain for the messenger RNA. It's in lymph nodes for 2 months. Now JAMA, Hanna and colleagues, breast milk. It's found messenger RNA in breast milk, and that broke, and someone pulled a Reuters press release a year earlier, says, oh, don't worry, it doesn't come out in breast milk, and there it is.
Wow.
In breast milk. So if it's circulatory in blood and it's in breast milk, and even in the Hanna paper, they simply say, listen, it's everywhere. It's in oral secretions. It's in urogenital secretions. It's in sweat.
Yeah.
It's in breast milk. We don't know when this clears out of the body. Remember, the genetics are the code to produce the spike protein. The person who knows the most about the spike protein and where it is in the body and how long it lasts is Bruce Patterson at Incell DX, former pathologist at Northwestern and Stanford. Bruce has reviewed the data, published the best he can. As far as he can tell, it doesn't get out of the body. the spike protein doesn't. We're still waiting for someone to take a vaccine and be shown to be clear of messenger RNA and clear of spike protein. So far, that has not been demonstrated in the scientific literature.
Oopsie. Oops. Huh. Well, you probably won't hear that reported on NBC. Certainly not by their portly weatherman, Al Roker. Al Roker, again, this is perfectly normal. No cause for alarm or anger or frustration. Al Roker is in the hospital and has been for the last 2 weeks with blood clots. He's very publicly taken these shots. But as I say, this is completely normal. I've watched morning news. I really just broke my habit of watching the Today Show about a year and a half ago now. I'm a happier person, I will say. It's so bad. It got me fired up in the morning. But Al Roker's out with blood clots after he's very publicly on the show taking every shot that they tell us to take. He makes sure that he does that on camera to show you that you should do this too. And now he's suffering from blood clots. But as I say, this is perfectly normal because I know over all of the years, we're constantly seeing TV weathermen have to take a few weeks off for blood clots, right? I mean, certainly that's happened before. Over and over again. I mean, they're going to tell you, oh, it's perfectly normal. He's an older guy. Blood clots. Has absolutely nothing to do. This is just, it's hard to watch, isn't it? Hard to watch. Yeah, Al Roker out with those. And then I had the story here. I don't really have time to get into it, where the FDA said, no. We didn't tell you not to take ivermectin. It was just a recommendation. We didn't strip doctors of their credentials. We didn't force them out of practice because they used ivermectin. We didn't kill a lady in a Hattiesburg hospital earlier this year. We had the son on air here because she wanted ivermectin, and their hospital refused to give it to her. Nah, it was just a light suggestion. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it is Wednesday. Wednesday, 10 to 11 o'clock, every single week, without fail, my most religious segment, and that is Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to convince people that your health fate is in your own hands and largely dictated to you not by bad genetics or bad luck, but by bad food, bad choices. And if you want to reclaim your health, a lot of that power, the vast, vast, vast majority of that is in your own hands. I start every show with my little disclaimer here. I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm not nothing. I've got no certification to advise you on your health. I'm just trying to lead people to do some research and take the time, take a little bit of effort. And I'm going to show you with some exercise stuff today. I think it's interesting. You don't have to go to the gym for an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week, to dramatically improve your health when it comes to the shape you're in. And so there's some new science about that too. So anyway, I'm just trying to lead people to the understanding that you have the greatest impact on your health outcomes, not fate. And just getting older is one of the biggest myths. Oh, there's definitely things about getting older that are just inevitable. But all of the conditions, the pain, the sickness, the illness, everything else, them telling you, doctors will tell you, oh, you're just getting older. Hogwash for the vast majority of it. I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago by a long shot. I want to really thank Rick called me during the break. I played that clip from Dr. McCullough. I'm going to pass along a reference to you. There's something called that Dr. McCullough has set up. He's got a website, twc.health. twc.health. I was not aware of this site, but let me just tell you what the opening page says. This is a group of people, obviously, that have been on the right side of the COVID issue. Had you listened to these people during COVID, you would have moved about society without any fear, and should you have contracted the 99.9% survivable disease, you probably would have dispatched with it relatively quickly without the intervention of Big Pharma, a ventilator, or a hospital. And so these people have put together a website now, and their landing page says, "Great Natural Products. Strengthen your health by choosing our natural products based on real science, not political science." So they've got supplements there, things that are proven scientifically to help you combat, avoid disease, or treat disease. And right next to that, it says care aligned with your values. Our doctors are not vending machines for big pharma. Your health is our only priority. Underneath that, it says liberation from big pharma. Build a customized D prescription plan with your dedicated expert. And this thing is cheap. And all of these people are MDs. The people that they're showing here is the people starting this thing. That's Dr. Peter McCullough, Heather Gessling, MD, Harvey Reich, MD, PhD, Richard Amerling, MD. These are people with real credentials that understand the big pharma has hijacked and corrupted our healthcare system. Again, that's TWC.com. I don't think this is not entirely related to COVID, but it does appear that they also have a protocol. If you've been injured by the shot or you're concerned with the science that's showing you that the spike protein is just in you, they can't figure out when it leaves you. If you're looking for something to maybe detox from it because you were forced to take the shot or have had problems with it, it looks like they've got some protocols on there. I'll spend some time noodling around on this. But again, thank you to Rick for mentioning that on a timely basis. It's TWC.health. Listen to a couple of MDs and some PhDs tell you that you can heal your own body without the benefits of big pharma. If I've done nothing else during the course of my show, I hope I've spent enough time trying to explain the concept of native advertising to people. And native, we know what an advertisement is, right? We know what a billboard is. We know what the commercials on WIEB are. Companies pay us to get the message out on their business. When you hear us do a live read, which I will do for steiningtonfarm.com here shortly. Understand they are sponsors of this show, they pay us money, and we help promote their businesses. I like the sponsors that I have, like Steinington Farm, that I can really get behind because I so totally believe in their product. But you know what we're doing. The news media, not so obvious. They're very sneaky with this stuff. They try to trick you into making something sound like it's a news story. I've mentioned this. It's holiday season again. I'll tell you again. I think I've told you every year for the past 5 years. You're going to hear this year about the, air quotes here in the studio, the secret Santa that comes in and pays off all of the layaway balances at a particular Walmart somewhere. This story comes up every single year. And I would imagine at some point, maybe somebody actually did this. But understand, that is Walmart paying these networks to give everybody the idea that maybe, possibly, if I open up a layaway account and start buying things from Walmart, somebody will come in and wipe away my balance. These are what native ads are. They're couched as news stories, but they are actually sponsored spots. And there was one incredibly disgusting on ABC's Good Morning America. I believe this is, this is Dr. Jen Ashton. She is the one, the COVID cultist over at ABC. She's really horrific. But I want you to listen to a segment that they did on Good Morning America and understand how to spot a native ad.
This is something, a medical headline. This is something you talked about, this a particular drug. There's a shortage of it because people are using it for reasons it wasn't meant to be used.
Right, and it's getting a lot of attention, TJ, so I wanted to break it down. This is a drug called Ozempic. This is a drug to treat type 2 diabetes, but the class, the generic version, the class known as semaglutide, got an FDA approval for weight loss, and now the demand is going through the roof.
Everybody is getting it. They're running short on it. Everybody's getting this drug.
This drug works by helping to control blood sugar, but it also slows the emptying of the food in the stomach. And so it drops people's appetite dramatically. People are losing a lot of weight on this. Of course, like many drugs, it's being used on label as well as off label. Typically, people start with a low dose injection once a week and then go up slightly in dosage. Like any drug, it can have some side effects, mild GI side effects like nausea, vomiting, but incredibly incredibly effective for treating the conditions of overweight and obesity. It comes with a major price tag, up to $800 or even over $1,000 a month if it's not covered by insurance. I do have patients whose insurance cover it, and then it can be $25 a month, but everyone is trying to get their hands on this drug right now.
You got to get it. You got to get it. Everybody's getting this thing. And she throws in there, it could be as low as $25 for you. It's a real pricey drug. People will watch ABC and flock to the doctor from that. It's very effective. I'll put it that way, too. That's a native advertisement. Dr. Jen Ashton, I'd bet just about anything I own. She was paid for that, or ABC was paid to run that. Now, she tells you, there could be some minor side effects. You may get a little bit of an upset stomach. Here is the actual commercial for Ozempic, the thing everybody is rushing out to get to control their weight.
Oh.
People with type 2 diabetes are excited about the potential of once-weekly Ozempic. In a study with Ozempic, a majority of adults lowered their blood sugar and reached an A1C of less than 7 and maintained it.
Oh, under 7.
And you may lose weight. In the same one-year study, adults lost on average up to 12 pounds.
That cracks me up. You know, on the keto diet, a buddy of mine, and many people that you will run into, if you pay attention to what you eat, if you do, you know, a high-fat, low-carb diet, a buddy of mine lost, I think, 35 pounds in the course of about 45 days. He couldn't believe how well his body responded. He was carrying a lot of extra gut weight. But if you take this drug for $1,000 a month, well, 25 if your insurance covers it, you may lose 12 pounds over the course of a year. Yikes.
Up to 12 pounds.
A two-year study showed that Ozempic does not increase the risk of major cardiovascular events like heart attack, stroke, or death.
Oh, no increased risk.
Ozempic should not be the first medicine for treating diabetes.
Like, you gotta love that. Oh, a drug that doesn't cause heart attacks. Wow.
Or for people with type 1 diabetes or diabetic ketoacidosis. Do not share needles or pens. Don't reuse needles. Do not take Ozempic if you have a personal or family history of medullary thyroid cancer, multiple endocrine neoplasia syndrome type 2, or if you are allergic to Ozempic. Stop taking Ozempic and get medical help right away if you get a lump or swelling in your neck, severe stomach pain, itching, rash, or trouble breathing. Serious side effects may happen, including pancreatitis. Tell your doctor if you have diabetic retinopathy or vision changes. Taking Ozempic with a sulfonylurea or insulin may increase the risk for low blood sugar. Common side effects are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach pain, and constipation. Some side effects can lead to dehydration, which may worsen kidney problems.
I discovered the potential with Ozempic.
She glossed over. She glossed over on her native ad on Good Morning America about 90% of the side effects of this drug. I think they finish up. Maybe they finish up with the cost. I was going to stop it there. Let's see. I let it go. $25. Anyway, if I've done nothing else with this show, and hopefully I've convinced people that it is the food that's killing you. It's not old age. It's not bad genetics. It's not gosh darn bad luck. It's the food. The garbage we're eating and the good things we're not eating that is actually causing our poor health. But if I've done nothing else, hopefully you can see these things on these major networks that are bought and paid for by Big Pharma and understand that these are advertisements. That was not a news story about people rushing out to get Ozempic. That was an advertisement trying to get people to rush out and buy this drug. Be right back. There are always two elements to this show, and I try to kind of separate the show. Sometimes I go overboard in one way or the other way, but there's two portions of this show. One is to show you that the medical establishment, what is accepted as, air quotes here in the studio, healthcare in this country, is really damaging your health and then profiting off of it. I am here to destroy the credibility of the FDA and the CDC and all of these agencies that are in lockstep with Big Pharma. It's been very profitable for them, not good for your health. Then the other side of this show is some things that you can do naturally to improve your health. And today we're going to look at a little bit of exercise stuff, an interesting, absolutely free anti-cancer therapy. But to finish the portion of my show where I try to destroy the current medical establishment, how about this headline? Taking Advil for more than a year makes arthritis worse, all caps, study suggests. U.S. researchers recruited 277 people with moderate or severe osteoarthritis. All participants had been taking anti-inflammatory NSAIDs for at least a year. They took scans of the knees of these people and showed no long-term benefits from taking NSAIDs. Taking pain medications such as Advil and Aleve may actually worsen arthritis inflammation, according to a new study. About a quarter of the adults in the U.S. have osteoarthritis. Again, this is a disease, a condition, because you have not given your body the raw material it needs to keep your joints healthy. It says about a quarter of adults in the U.S. have osteoarthritis, a condition that occurs most frequently in the hands, hips, and knees. In the U.K., it's about a third of people. Non-steroidal and anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, are commonly taken to help ease the pain associated with inflammation of the swelling in the joints. But a new study suggests the drugs may instead worsen inflammation in the knee over time. With experts warning, recommendations surrounding their use should be revisited. How long have they been telling you to take these things? Now, researchers said one possible reason for the findings is that people who take pain relief medication may be physically more active, which could lead to worsening inflammation. Or it could be that the anti-inflammatory effect that normally comes from NSAIDs may not work as well for the membrane lining of the knee, they said. So these pain pills that people take like Chiclets actually are making the pain worse. The bottom line is if you've got knee, joint, hip, hand pain, you need to give your body what it needs to grease those joints. There's a lot of things in the diet, things like collagen. This is one of the things from my carnivore experiment that I'm in right now. My joints that I've had some issues with, some little tweaks and a little bit of unsteadiness in my shoulders, has dramatically improved eating this all-beef diet because there's just tons of things in there that are good for joints and ligaments. So if you want to improve your osteoarthritis, you need to start giving your body what it needs to manufacture these parts of your joints that make life better. So there you go. Another swing and a miss for the medical establishment giving you these NSAIDs. Turns out it's making the condition worse. Here's a fun one. I am tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I am not anybody who sits around the Thanksgiving table and says, oh, you shouldn't eat that. You shouldn't. I'm going to enjoy myself. It's funny. Been doing this carnivore diet. I've had basically no carbs for about 45 days now, no gluten whatsoever. So yesterday I had a little bit of gluten just to see, because I know the chain's coming off tomorrow. I'm going to have a few cocktails. I'm trying to figure out what I can have. I like bourbon and Coke. I can't drink a bunch of Cokes. So I'm trying to figure out what I can drink. But I know I'm gonna break out of this thing the next few days, and then I'll probably go back to it because I've really enjoyed it. So eat what you want to, but here's just an interesting little segment about those beautiful, great-tasting fries from McDonald's. This was kind of interesting. Another staple of the American diet, the SAD, Standard American Diet, the SAD diet. One of the most ubiquitous things to the American diet is those beautiful McDonald's fries.
If you go to McDonald's anywhere in the world, you will find French fries. Or chips, as you call them, and you will find that they're always made from the same potato, the russet Burbank potato. This is a potato from America that's unusually long and difficult to grow. But that's what they want, because when you're McDonald's, you like those red boxes with a little bouquet of very long chips. It looks really good. And so they insist that all their potatoes be russet Burbanks, and they further insist that they have no blemishes at all. There's a very common defect of russet Burbank potatoes called net necrosis. And you've seen potatoes with a little brown line sometimes or spots that come through it. Well, McDonald's won't buy them if your potatoes have that. And the only way to eliminate that is to eliminate an aphid. And the only way to do that is with a pesticide called Monitor that is so toxic that the farmers who grow these potatoes in Idaho won't venture outside into their fields for 5 days after they spray. And then when they harvest their potatoes, they have to put them in these atmosphere-controlled sheds the size of a football stadium because they're not edible for 6 weeks. They have to off-gas all the chemicals in them. So you see, the desire for a certain kind of chip leads to a certain kind of agriculture.
Oh, there you go. But perfectly safe to eat. The farmers spray this pesticide. They don't go in their fields for 5 days. Then they can finally go in the fields and harvest these potatoes, and they put them into a big thing, and they don't touch them for 6 weeks. Everybody out! These things have to off-gas all of the chemicals. But boy, do they make a beautiful bouquet of French fries in that little red container. This is what Americans are eating. We can't figure out why in the world we're so darn sick. This was a story out of the UK. Donuts, cereal, and pizza should be redefined as drugs. Scientists say highly processed foods are just as addictive and harmful as cigarettes. Highly processed foods should be reclassified as drugs because they are as addictive and harmful as cigarettes, scientists argue. Researchers claim items like donuts, sugary cereals, and pizza meet the official criteria that established cigarettes as a drug in the 1990s. And let me say this about pizza, because I got to tell you, I'm a pizza guy. But I eat fresh pizza. This is not a bunch of ingredients with a ton of preservatives put into a box, wrapped in plastic, coated with all kinds of preservatives and all kinds of chemicals to make this thing shelf stable for 6 years while it makes its way through the supply chains. I love pizza like anybody else. Go get yourself a good fresh pizza made right in front of you. These bags and boxes are the the true disaster. They say in these things, as they're saying, that highly processed foods should be reclassified as drugs. Never going to happen, of course. And of course, the FDA would sign off on all of this food, too. These include causing compulsive use and mood-altering effects on the brain and having properties or ingredients that reinforce addiction or trigger cravings. Ultra-processed foods, which also include things like soda, chips, pastries, and candies, contain high amounts of unnatural flavorings, preservatives, and sweeteners. These properties give them their delicious flavor, but also make them high in calories, fat, sugar, or salt, which raise the risk of obesity and other chronic diseases. Relabeling this food. So to anybody who is out there judging anybody for an addiction problem, addiction to gambling, addiction to cigarettes, addiction to drugs, those of you struggling to put down some of the worst foods that we eat, understand you are under the grips of this addiction as well. There is some good news here. I love this story. Absolutely love this story. A lot of people talk about, going meatless now for sustainability, but a lot of people think it's for health. And so they've started introducing in the past few years these plant-based meats. Now, you want to talk about something that is highly processed. Can you imagine the various mechanisms, chemicals, and processes that need to go into turning something that is a vegetable into something resembling meat? That is about as highly processed as you can get. And these faux meats, these plant-based, air quotes in the studio, meats, are not what you think. They are not healthy alternatives. It turns out people are turning their back on these things. There's a story, I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but talks about the rapid rise of Beyond Meat. It was viewed as the next big thing. Today, it's a company without much momentum. While some had projected a 33% growth this year, the company is likely to only notch a modest gain. Last week, the company announced it was laying off 19% of its 200-person workforce. McDonald's finished a pilot run of a McPlant burger and opted not to continue it. It also has a little funny story in here, too. Beyond Meat's chief operating officer left the company in October after being arrested for allegedly biting a man's nose, an act that's decidedly off-brand for a business that eschews meat-eating. So, anyway, there's also somebody tweeted down here, Beyond Meat logged 11 incidents of listeria out of 56 weekly tests at its Pennsylvania plant, with the most recent positive test in May of 2022. And they've got some pretty gross pictures of the processing plant there. Anyway, a Beyond Meat stock is down 94% below its post-initial public offering peak in July of 2019 at $235. It's now trading around $13.29. Good for you, America. Maybe it just was not appealing. I would never eat these things. A lot of them are laced with GMOs, which means a ton of pesticides are also in these things. They're heavily processed, and meat is good for you. More about that when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I'm so glad to see the artificial meats, these plant-based, highly processed, pesticide-laden products failing with consumers because they were not going to contribute anything to Americans' health because meat is good for you. As a matter of fact, it's better for you than I even knew a year ago. I have been talking about it. I've been on the carnivore diet. I'm going to break it this weekend, and I'll probably jump right back on it starting next week. It's easy. I feel great, and I really enjoy the steaks I get from StoningtonFarm.com. Meat is good for you, and if you're going to get meat, it's not all created equal. You want a good quality meat fed a natural diet, which for cows is grass. And so you can get your grass-fed beef, Mississippi-born, raised, and processed, eating only grass the whole way through, no hormones, no antibiotics. It's a great nutritional profile of beef. And Stonington Farms down in Perkiston, Mississippi has got it, and now they're making deliveries up to the Jackson area. And I went out and got my meat last Friday. I met a couple of listeners to the show as they bring up their truck and in a parking lot just hand out beef for payment. The farmer actually comes up here, Katie Stonington, the wife of Dr. Mike Stonington, who owned this farm. They come up here and actually deliver the meat. You can find them at StoningtonFarm.com. That's StoningtonTon Farm, singular.com. StoningtonFarm.com. You'll see everything that they offer. Understand, it is all very natural, local farmer. I mean, there's just, I almost can't say enough good things about it. And I'm telling you, I've been eating it for about 75% of every calorie I've intake. I've taken in for the past 45 days. You know, I feel great, and it tastes great. I get excited about dinners when I know I'm about to cook up a big Stonington Farm ribeye. I might make a little bacon with it, too, to add a little bit more fat. But it's really fantastic food, and you're supporting a local farmer here in the state of Mississippi raising cattle the right way. It's not easy. Much easier to give cows a bunch of grain, fatten them up really quick, get as many pounds out of them as you possibly can, and take them to market. Stonington Farm does it the right way. It's more expensive. It's more laborious. It takes longer. But they know that they're providing a good, healthy cut of meat to their customers, and I can't imagine anything more satisfying than that. So check them out, StoningtonFarm.com. You'll see everything they offer, and then you're going to get a phone number. You call down there. You actually talk to usually Katie Stonington, and she will talk you through an order, tell you what they've got available, and may even give you some recipes. You know, they're all the time noodling around with that. And I'm loving keeping up with Dr. Stonington. He's doing all this reading about fat and, he's in the medical establishment. He has had an awakening over the past few years, even studying his own product to realize exactly how good of a product he's putting out and how they've tried to vilify fat and how dangerous that has been for Americans as we have consumed this low-fat diet and become anyone? Yeah, fat. So anyway, StoningtonFarm.com. Please check him out. All right, so I've completed my bashing of the medical system and showing you how they're actually making you sicker. Now we'll get to some more positive stuff. Here's one. I mean, check out this study. I'm going to give you a freebie here, something you could do every single day. Well, not every day. Not on a cloudy day. Not on a rainy day. This was a study out. Here's one more reason that a daily walk after waking up can do wonders for your health. Grabbing just 30 seconds of sunlight every morning could slash the chances of developing most types of cancer significantly, early research by one of the United Kingdom's leading specialists suggests. Dr. Mohammed Muneeb Khan says that less than half a minute's exposure to the sun's near-infrared, that's NIR light, between sunrise and 9 a.m. may offer a higher level of protection to adults and children than eating 2,500 bananas or a kilogram of Brazil nuts per day. Stepping outside during these times could cut the odds of developing cancer from 1 in 2 to 1 in 10, making it a more effective inhibitor than any other single preventative measure. The NIR light, which is invisible to the human eye, is at its most effective at dawn, with its beneficial effect gradually waning throughout the day as the human body becomes less responsive to it. Absorbing it in the early morning prompts the body into releasing a flood of melatonin, a natural antioxidant twice as powerful as vitamin E that neutralizes toxins and prevents cancer-causing gene mutations. 30 seconds of sun in the morning. Get a good heaping dose of it. I love going out on a cold day and staring up at the sun. But I'm going to make a conscious effort to make sure I spend a good minute or two. It's also, obviously, more sun exposure is good for your vitamin D. They've told us to run from the sun in the past. One of the things that I consume, and I almost feel like I need to put a disclaimer on this, like I'm not telling you to do this because there is such a scare tactic around eggs. First, they came after them because of the cholesterol. I'm so proud of my father. He wasn't into the natural health stuff like I am, but he loved eggs. I think he had fried eggs just about every single morning. And as the cholesterol craze, the fear-mongering cholesterol came. My dad never had any cholesterol problems, never had any heart problems, nothing like that. Well, he took the shot. He ended up having some heart problems. But he didn't have any of these problems. His cholesterol was fine. He ate eggs every single day, and he always went, I don't care about that. I'm just going to eat my eggs. Well, he was right. They were wrong. I consume raw eggs. Now, here's something interesting. You can do further research. I'm probably going to do further research. I went in because I eat raw eggs in my protein shakes. So recently, because of the carnivore diet, I've been using kefir, and I mix that with a whey protein, a little bit of sweetness from stevia in it. So there, I guess there's a violation there. That's a little bit of a plant in these things. And then I'll put two or three raw eggs in it. I love the way it tastes. Raw eggs don't have much of a taste at all. But it adds some things that I like out of eggs to these things. They've scared us a lot into the idea that you got to make sure that eggs are completely cooked because of salmonella. I'll give you statistics on that in just a second. But don't let anybody take my advice, go out there and somehow you get sick off of some factory farm sweatshop egg that you got from the local supermarket and then blame me for it. But I'm going to tell you about the benefits of raw eggs. Now, here's the thing, though. I looked it up. There were conflicting information on some pretty good websites that I might travel in the natural health world. Some of them said raw eggs were better for you, easier to digest. Some actually said that cooked eggs, slightly cooked, not just crushed with heat, that slightly cooked eggs were actually easier to digest, and there were some benefits to that. But I wanted to look into what the benefits of raw eggs are, and let me just lay these out to you here. This is according to thealternativedaily.com. Let's see if there's a writer or somebody on this. Oh, it's Tanya Mood. I don't know who that is. Raw eggs high in protein. Just one egg yolk contains approximately 6 grams of protein, one of the primary micronutrients that our bodies and minds need to live and thrive. Raw eggs contain more carotenoid antioxidants. When eggs are cooked, some of their nutritional density becomes depleted. For this reason, there are many nutrients that are more abundant in raw eggs than cooked eggs. One of these nutrient groups is carotenoid antioxidants. Raw eggs contain more lutein and xanthin, I think that's how you pronounce it, than their cooked counterparts, 30% more, in fact. Raw eggs contain more choline. Raw eggs contain 23% more choline than cooked eggs, and that is a nutrient important in cell membrane structure, also vital for the proper function of the nervous system. Raw eggs contain more zinc. Been found to contain about 19% more zinc than their cooked counterparts. The mineral has many important functions, including boosting the immune system to better prevent and fight illness, as well as supporting the nervous system. Raw eggs, you'll get more vitamin D. They contain about 36% more vitamin D than cooked eggs. While we get most of our vitamin D from the rays of the sun, supplementing with whole food sources, especially during cold winter months, can help your body replenish what the sun may not provide. When it comes to omega-3 fatty acid content, raw eggs come out above cooked eggs with 33% more overall. And this one says that it turns out raw eggs are easy on the digestive system, making them ideal for those with sensitive stomachs. So I have been eating raw eggs now for about 15 years, maybe 17 years. I've never had an issue. The story does say, and here's the statistics here, it is possible for raw eggs to carry salmonella, specifically Salmonella enteritidis, Other bacteria such as Listeria and something else I cannot pronounce can also be found in some raw eggs. However, it is estimated that only about 20,000 to 1 in 30,000 eggs is actually contaminated with Salmonella bacteria. Most people think it is much more likely than that. Again, I've been eating these raw eggs for 15 to 17 years. I've never had an issue. Maybe my number's coming up. But the story goes on to say many of these cases of egg contamination stem from factory-farmed eggs where hens are raised in unsanitary, unhealthy conditions, while eggs from pastured, free-range, and organically raised hens can still contain salmonella. Chances are lower if the sanitary protocols are followed. They go on to say, and so this is it, your source of eggs, too. I always refer to the kind of the regular white, cheapest you can get at the grocery store. Those are sweatshop eggs. I've been to some of these chicken houses. It's a truly depressing place to be. I think it's almost eating sadness at this point if you ever go to a chicken house. But getting a good quality egg is important. Although you can't be sure what it is, your best bet is find a reputable farm. But before you eat an egg raw, wash the shell. And shell is where these bacteria exist. It's not in the egg itself. It's usually on the shell. Some of that gets off of the shell into the egg that you may be eating. That's where you get it from. This story suggests before you eat an egg raw, wash the shell in warm, soapy water and rinse well. This will ensure that the bacteria on the shell is destroyed. Make sure that the egg is fresh. The yolk and the white should be firm and there should be no weird odors. The white may be cloudy and that's fine. But if it has a pink tint, you'll want to toss it. And it's a sign of bacteria. So I will say, there have been a couple of times I've cracked open a raw egg, looked at it, went, I think not. Might not have been anything wrong with it, but I'm not going to eat anything that looks or smells funky, I can guarantee you of that. But there may be some benefits to these. Eggs are like a vitamin, whether you eat them raw or whether you cook them some way. As long as they are good from a good source, I think eggs are just one of the greatest food out there for all of us. They've told us to run away from eggs for the past 50 years. I say run toward them. Be right back.
Calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for today's Hump Day Health on the eve of Thanksgiving. Go out there and enjoy yourself. The thing is, what's beautiful, if you absorb this kind of information, if you take your health in your own hands, you know, I'll be honest with you. I know I'm probably not going to feel my best on Friday, maybe Saturday. I may take it into Sunday, but I know that I can course correct on Monday, and I'll be right back to feeling fantastic because I've got this information. I know how to alter my diet. I know what to take out immediately. I know what to add in, and I'll recover and live my life. Go out and enjoy yourself. But give your body the ability to detoxify at the end of it. I want to talk a little bit about exercise in the last few minutes I've got left. I play a lot of clips on this show. I really can't. I mean, you want to talk about some sciencey stuff, quoting studies and stuff. Some of the exercise videos that I watch. Yeah, I'm an older guy, and I put a lot of time in at the gym. And I don't always think I'm getting everything out of it I can, so I look for ways to do it. And I ran across some interesting things. I'm going to give you a couple of things about exercise that could be encouraging to people. One of them is there's a study that's come out that's been done and that shows that only about 4 sets of resistance exercise done to failure a week it gets you the bulk of muscle growth. Now, I'm not talking to a bunch of people out there that are probably trying to go compete in a pageant somewhere. I'm talking about if you want to build some muscle, only about 4 sets a week. Now, that's per body part. So if you can do a chest exercise, you know, I do bench exercises at the gym with either dumbbells or a barbell bench press, those kinds of things. But if you can get 4 solid sets a week, that's the vast majority of your muscle growth. Now, sometimes I'll do 16 sets a week. Those other 12 sets, they may add a little bit, but the biggest benefit is of those 4 sets. So it doesn't take a whole lot to start getting your muscles to grow. And it also makes for some very short workouts. So I thought that was very interesting that that's where the vast majority of the growth occurs. Now, 4 sets does not mean going through the motions and not really exerting yourself. It is getting to the point where you can't do another rep. If you're doing 8 to 12 reps, when you get to that 10th rep and you can't get the 11th one, you're done. Don't count out reps and go, well, I did 10. I'm done. That's not what it is. It's basically to failure. That's what helps build muscle. And here was a really an even more interesting thing to me. A study came out. A lot of these guys are exercise physiologists and this kind of stuff that I listen to. And they did it. They took a look at people who lifted weights. And they wanted to find out what was best for growing muscle. Here's an interesting thing as well. They don't really know exactly what grows muscle. There's several different mechanisms, and they say a little piece of this, a little piece of that. We think this, we think that. Now, we know that resistance exercise does it. It's either metabolic resistance is one of the things. I have them listed here somewhere. Where was it? Metabolic stress, mechanical tension, and the micro damage done with little tears to the muscle when you actually overexert it. And when they did this study, and what they found was that in the stretch part of an exercise, so if you can imagine doing a bench press, I do a lot of bench press with dumbbells. And so when you pull that down to your sides, when you're pulling it down to your chest, you feel that really big stretch on your chest. So you have that part of the exercise, and then when you lift it to the very top, Your muscle is fully contracted. You know, you're kind of squeezing your muscle when you get it up there. They found the people that did more on the stretch side actually grew muscle at 1.5 times the rate of the people who focused on the contraction side. It's that part of the stretch. Now, what they surmise from this is it is, and there are little, they'll talk about, if you listen to people who lift weights, exercise people, to talk about doing muscle damage. They're not talking about ripping and tearing a muscle and doing things that damage you. They're little micro tears that your body has to go in and repair. And what the body does is it says, oh my gosh, this muscle seems to be coming under a lot of tension, a lot of stress. We need to kind of fortify it. We need to build this muscle up a little bit because it keeps having these little micro tears. We're going to make it stronger. We're going to make it more robust. And this is how muscle growth occurs. As I say, they're not entirely sure. From everything I've read, they're not really sure. There's several different mechanisms that goes in it, but I thought it was very interesting. So for the last week, I've been really focusing on the stretch part of my exercise. And this is going to sound weird, and I got into the shower after the gym the other day. The first day I had done this, I couldn't believe how pumped up my body was. People who know me, I'm not any big, huge guy. I did meet a guy picking up Stonington Farm Meat, and he went, oh, look at that, you are thin. I never really thought about it before. I promise you, I'm not sitting here at 5'4", 360, advising you on your health. I'm a pretty fit, trim guy. But I was amazed at what appeared on my body after doing this, really focusing on the stretch side of the work. Now, don't overdo it. You can do muscle damage if you got bad form and you let things fly and stretch too much or too fast and with no warm-up. Be aware of this. But focusing on that stretch part rather than the contraction part, 1.5 times as much muscle growth. This was a tool that I will be using going forward. 4 sets a week, focusing on the stretch, you'll be in shape in no time. You don't have to wait for January 1st. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and I will see everybody later.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.